Well, good evening, church. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, this is a great portion of Scripture. We bless God for Paul who wrote this. God used him, of course, by his Holy Spirit to write the very words of God. This is the word of the Lord to us. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll read verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So the context there is Paul having great joy in preaching the word. And then verse 14, he picks up, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Evening, brothers and sisters. It's a joy to share the word of God. And thank you, David, for leading us out with those hymns and songs. And many of them spoke of that love, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And we're in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. If we could please open our Bibles there. And as was read out tonight, the verses we'll be focusing on is 14 through 21. But particularly I want to focus on verses 18 and 19 tonight, where it speaks of that great love, that great width and length and depth, and a love that passes knowledge. And tonight, I want to be continuing in that series of reclaiming your love for Jesus. You know, the church at Ephesus, they began well, but then they are pulled up, as it were, in the book of Revelations for having left that first love. And so in the text tonight, we come to a part where Paul has a prayer and a plea. And last time, it was 3 or 4 weeks ago now, we looked at the first three pleas, and they were verses 16 and 17. And I want to consider verses 18 and 19 tonight. So let's ask the Lord's help as we come to meditate on his word. Great God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we've been able to sing of your great love for us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The just for the unjust to bring us to God. Thank you, Lord, that yes, even when we see you face to face, we will still not be able to comprehend in fullness that great love. And I believe all of our lives, all of our eternity, we will marvel at the great love with which you have redeemed us. So Lord, I pray that tonight we might just have a glimpse into that love that you have for us and how we ought to reciprocate that love. Lord, I pray that we would grow in knowledge and in love as a body of believers here tonight. And I pray that, Father, you would take my words and you would strengthen and equip me to speak this. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit that it would enable me, that I may be able to speak the words of life. And I pray your church might be edified through your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Paul in Ephesians 3:14, he bows his knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And he pleads and he prays that he, the Father, would grant, according to the riches of his glory, that the church of God would be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith, and that they, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that they, the church, might be filled with all the fullness of God. There is, brother and sister, so much applicability of this for us tonight. It is the word of God. It is the word of God to the church there at Ephesus. It is the word of God to us at Central Mountains Baptist Church tonight. And I would say this is Paul's ever-relevant plea for the church. It's ever-relevant, as the word of God is ever-relevant. And last time we considered verse 16, that Paul pleads and he prays for the church to have an inward strengthening in verse 16. You know, the church, we said last time, cannot rely on externalities. You can only go so far. They will fade away. Hypocrisy and lifeless religion is in direct opposition to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need inner strengthening. It's not about an outward show. Failing to live this Christian life in God's strength will tire you out. Remember, in Revelation, this church is known to be working hard. It's got buzz. It's got activity. It has programs, perhaps. But you know, they left what was most important. They had left their first love. They had lost what was most important. And so we need God's strengthening more than external activity. And recapping last time, we also looked at verse 17. There was a plea here. Paul's plea was for the church to have an abiding faith. And the usual word for dwell is okeo. And here the word is an intensified form of that word. It is katokeo, which means literally to abide, to settle down and make one's permanent home in. And so he prays that Christ might take up full residence in human hearts. And that's what Christ wants. He wants all of us. He wants to dwell in us more than we want to open up ourselves to him. He wants to come in fullness and indwell our lives as his Holy Spirit imparts to us his person. And then we read further on in verse 17, part B, that there was a plea, a prayer for Paul, of Paul, that the church would have a great foundation of love. Brother and sister, and this is the theme of the New Testament church, that there would be love in the church, that there would be a grounding and a rooting in love so that the roots might go deep, that the foundation may be strong. And tonight I want to continue on that theme of love. For he goes on to say in verse 18 and 19 that there must be a comprehension of that love and a deeper understanding of that love. And so as we look tonight at verses 18 and 19, I want to look at several important keys to enable our growing comprehension of God's love. A plea not only for a foundation, brother and sister, but a growing comprehension of that love. Have you ever been with a saint, an elder saint, an older saint, or someone that's passing on into eternity? And have you seen that life that is now, they may be of great age, and yet there is a childlike faith there, an immense love for their Savior. A beautiful picture that as a child of God grows in love, grows in the comprehension of Christ's love for them, they also display that childlike faith and that love of God, their Savior. And it's a precious thing to behold. It's a precious thing to behold in the life of a mature Christian, to see a person's growing comprehension of God's love, of God's character. That's knowledge, brother and sister. Not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge and an understanding of God. There must be a growing comprehension of God's love in our lives, brother and sister. A growing comprehension. And I want to look at five keys tonight to a growing comprehension of God's love. And the first key to a growing comprehension of God's love is to understand our depravity and God's mercy. And you know, the church at Ephesus, they were poor physically. We understand that historically they were poor, and yet they held immense riches in Christ. They were the saved church of God. They were born again, and the church was formed. And we see here that they are growing in the love and in the knowledge of Christ. And you know, To understand where we've come from is so important. To understand what we've been saved from is so important. And when we look at the theme of love in the New Testament, the theme of love throughout the whole Bible, there is so much to speak on. There is so much to speak from. But tonight I just want to allude to a few points, a few key points that the Holy Spirit, I believe, laid on my heart to share as I studied this text. And I was really drawn to the 103rd Psalm. If we could turn to the 103rd Psalm. It's so important as we grow in our comprehension of God's love, as we grow in this knowledge, that we would understand continually where we have come from. You know, the woman that was at the feet of the Lord Jesus, her sins that were many were forgiven, for she loves now much. She loves much. She loves Christ much because she understands how much she has been saved from. And I was so blessed by this psalm as I was studying this passage. I was drawn by the Spirit to this psalm because the psalmist here, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities." So, brother and sister, we are iniquitous. We have sin upon us, and he forgives them. In verse 3, it also says that we were diseased and yet he heals us. In verse 4, he redeems our life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. It says, brother and sister, he satisfies our mouth with good things. The things of the world that we used to partake in were not good things, but now he satisfies us with good things and our youth is renewed like the eagles. We read of the Lord in verse 6 that he executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He makes known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. We read here that the Lord is merciful and gracious. In verse 8, he is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. And brother and sister, we read in verse 10 that he has not dealt with us according to our sins. He has not punished us according to our iniquities. And is this the picture of Christ now in verse 11? For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. And the cross in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are a dust. Let's read so far for now. Brother and sister, in verse 12, it says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And this, we see that Christ on the cross, he takes our sin and he flings it as far as possible, as far as the east is from the west. Oh, brother and sister, that we would have a growing comprehension of God's love. And it begins with our understanding of our depravity. Our depravity, our sinfulness, our sinful state, that we cannot save ourselves and we have sin that nailed the Lord Jesus to the tree. And yet, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, who love him. And so that is the first key. We must know where we've come from. The second key to a growing comprehension of God's love is a growing understanding of the required obedience we must have to God's word. You know, we can understand the love of God and there's a response. There is a response that shows that we understand his love. And in John 14, if we turn to the Gospel of John 14, we see the Lord Jesus numerously remind and teach those who he loved of the required obedience to the word of God. "If you love me," the Lord Jesus said, "keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Brothers and sisters, I'm reminded of the word of James, to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And this is so integral, is it not? That one can say, I love God, but the test of metal is, how do you go with your obedience to his word? If you say, I'm growing in the comprehension of God's love, I'm basking in his love, I'm growing in the knowledge of God's love, how does your life look? How does your day-to-day look? Are you growing in comprehension truly? Are you growing in knowledge truly? Are you understanding the required obedience to God's word? If you love me, keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father, the Lord Jesus said, that I'll give you the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, to bring all of my word into remembrance, whatsoever I have spoken, to give you the power, if you would submit to the Spirit of God, to give you the power to live out my words, to obey my words. And that is love, brother and sister. We must, in a loving relationship, walk step by step with our Savior. It is not something where we just verbalize with our mouths, but it is a test of metal. It is a test day by day. If we are walking in the Spirit, that we would love him. And Jesus answered Judas here and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, will come and will make a home with him. And so the test of metal, brother and sister, is obedience to the word of God. It's a daily obedience. And the Lord Jesus says, my words are not burdensome. They are not burdensome to you. Take my yoke upon you. Take it upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And so, brother and sister, as a religious person, the word of God, or as a worldly person, the word of God, obedience to the commands seem burdensome. To those who want to run their own race in the flesh, it is a burden. But to those in the Spirit, it is a delight. That's the difference. That's the difference between a religious person or a person who, you know, I've got to come to church, or I have to do this, or I have to do that, or I need to do this, or I need to... No, the things that come from a heart of love are not burdensome. And that's the difference, because his Spirit is there. It doesn't say that we ought not to work for Christ, to strive, as Pastor Jan said this morning, to be self-disciplined. It's part of that. But it is a different walk. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a Spirit-filled life. And that's what the Lord Jesus was showing us here in John chapter 14. If you want to grow in a comprehension of God's love, you must grow in your understanding of the required obedience to God's word. But it is not a burdensome life. It is a life that is a joyous life. And Jesus said, he who does not love me does not keep my words. We see here there must be a lifestyle change. And we spoke about this earlier in the book of Ephesians, where those who go on for Christ, their trajectory is upward and onward. The book of 1 John talks about those who verbalize things and talk of their love for God, and yet they cannot love their brother whom they see. And John says that they are a liar and the love of God is not in them. And so really the test of metal is our growing understanding and our obedience to God's word. And so, The third key, and this comes up in our text as well, in Ephesians 3, verse 18, it says that in this comprehension of God's love, we comprehend it together with all the saints. And so the third key to a growing comprehension of God's love is understanding God's love collectively with all the saints. It's not a one person race, not a one horse race. It's not you doing it yourself. God has given us the church of God. God has given us the body of Christ. And so here Paul is saying that we collectively may be able to comprehend what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, Christ, which passes knowledge. And so we are to comprehend this love with all the saints. And, you know, no one person can grasp the immensity of the love of God. Not one person can grasp that. But in fellowship with other saints, we are enriched in our comprehension of that love. Not even all of us as the saints of God can understand it fully, even with all our strengths and weaknesses that we might have in the body of Christ. We are all together not fully able to comprehend it. But I believe, and the text is teaching us here, that we are to be enriched together by the hearing of the word of God, by the hearing of prayers of the saints, by seeing the life of others in the church, by seeing the testimony of the saints that have gone before us. We're enriched in our knowledge and comprehension of the love of God. And so, beloved, as we reciprocate the love, as we also reflect the love of God as a body of believers, 1 John 4:7 reminds us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And so here we see a collective love. And so if you see a person, an individual who's out on a limb and, you know, I don't need church, I don't need God's people, I can just do it on my own. And no, that's not God's model. That's not God's intention. If you see someone, a hermit or someone who's, oh, I'm just going to love God and just cut myself away from people because I can love God more on that mountaintop. Brother and sister, the Bible teaches us that we are in it together. And so that third key to comprehending God's love is understanding it collectively with all the saints, with all the saints of God. The fourth key I just want to touch on is a key to a growing comprehension of God's love is understanding what love is, and love is oneness or unity. And, you know, Christ spoke of this in John 14, how the Father comes down at that day, verse 20, John 14, 20, at that day, you'll know that I'm in my Father and you in me and I in you. That's the moment of salvation for you, brother and sister. Is it not, where the Spirit comes in and dwells us and we understand the beauty of the Trinity? We don't fully comprehend it to the nth degree, but we understand Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, and Christ is God. That was my moment of salvation as a teenager, when I understood that Jesus is God. I understood it. And the Holy Spirit saved me. And I was born again of the Spirit of God. I knew about God going to church as a young person. I knew of God. I knew about him. I knew his word. And I said I loved him. But when I was born again of his Spirit, when the realization came, Jesus is God. The Father and the Son are one. That in creation, Christ was there creating the worlds with God the Father. And now his Spirit indwells me, and his Spirit is bringing this to light and to my mind and to my comprehension. And so, and there's a continual growth, and there's a unity there. And, you know, Paul is making this plea to the church at Ephesus. He's praying for them and he's pleading with them that Christ might dwell in their hearts through faith, that they may be strengthened in the inner man, that they may comprehend love. You know who else prayed for us? The Lord Jesus prayed for us. Even as Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, Jesus prayed for all believers. And that's his great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. In John 17, if we could turn there, brothers and sisters, we see in the first five verses that Jesus is praying for himself. And in verses 6 to 19, he's praying for his disciples that were there immediately with him. But then in verse 20 of John 17, Jesus prays for all believers. And that includes us tonight. Isn't that a precious thing? Just rereading this, you just marvel at this, where you think, wow, Jesus prayed for us. Right down the ages, you know, 2022, here in the Blue Mountains, he prayed for you, for each child here, for each teen, for each individual. And he said, after he prayed for his disciples, he said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Brother and sister, a growing comprehension of God's love is a growing revelation of oneness. As I was studying this text, this John 17 was just springing to my heart and mind by the Holy Spirit. Love is unity. Jesus and the Father is one. And just like in a marriage where God ordained two should be one, there is no separation. In the spiritual birth, in this new spiritual life, in this newness of life, we are united in God's love forever. And you know, you might ask a young person and say, what is love? You might ask a teenager today in our society, what does love mean? What is love? And they most probably will talk to you about a feeling. If you ask someone, a young person today, or someone who's looking for love, someone who's looking for a spouse perhaps, or someone who's searching for love, they will talk about perhaps a feeling or the butterflies or an attraction, and they'll talk about it. Have you ever heard someone say oneness when you ask them what is love? You know, that's maturity. That's understanding maturity. That's a growing comprehension of love, because in God's love, there is a perfect oneness. There's a perfect unity. And you know, as in a marriage that God brings two to be one, Christ and his church are one. Christ and his church are inseparable. Such is the love. So a growing comprehension and understanding of God's love is centered around a oneness and unity, and that comes from the Godhead, and it comes from the perfection of the Trinity, the perfection of that unity and of that oneness. And so, brother and sister, if you and I are to grow in our understanding, our comprehension of God's love, understand this, that God is one. He is unified. In the Trinity, there is no separation. And brother and sister, you and I, in His Spirit, are one with Him. It cannot be separated. That's an incredible promise that God has made. And as we look to the last, the fifth point tonight that I wish to raise is a growing comprehension of God's love is to understand our eternal security. Our eternal security. When you see where and where Paul is coming from in the text and what he has already spoken to us about the predestination, about how Christ has chosen us. He's growing and building on that foundation in this letter. And we come back to that because a growing comprehension of God's love is to understand that He has bought you with a price and He has chose you. He chose you in Him before the foundation of the earth. How can we comprehend that? You know, how can you understand how together with all the saints you begin to comprehend what is the width and the length and the depth and the height to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You know, it's something that you'll never know to the nth degree. We'll never. It surpasses our understanding. And yet as we grow in our understanding, we must grow in our understanding of our eternal security and our election. And it's a most fearful doctrine, I tell you. As you look at this, and yet it is a most wonderful doctrine to understand that Christ has chosen you. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, brothers and sisters. It's just an incredible, incredible passage, is it not? Romans 8, 28 and onwards, where we understand and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. See, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called, and whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall not He with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother and sister, what can separate you from His love? If you are His elect, if you are His chosen, if you are the called according to His purpose, nothing. Because there is nothing wider than the love of Christ. There is nothing deeper than the love of Christ. There is nothing higher than the love of Christ. And so nothing created, nor death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nothing present, nothing to come is able to separate us from the love of God. Oh, brother and sister, we, as much as we want to in our minds and our hearts, cannot comprehend such great love. No trial that you have faced, or no trial that you're about to face, not that we look for them, but no trial in life that will yet come, can take you away from God's love. If you are His, it'll only make you stronger. It'll only make you stronger in Him. And so through the trials of life and through the difficult valleys of life, as you meditate on God's love, as you come out that valley, as you come out the other side, you look back and see Christ was with you. God was with you. God's love was ever present, even in that dark place. And you will grow in your comprehension, in your understanding of His love. Oh, brother and sister, we are conquerors through Him. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are eternally secure in Him. And so, in concluding tonight, the result of a growing comprehension of God's love is to be filled with all the fullness of God. More than any material wealth and all this world's abundance, our text as we read out tonight in the book of Ephesians speaks of Him doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. You know, that word there, abundantly more, is hyperperiskou, which is super abundantly. It has the sense of infinitely more. So what Paul is affirming here is that God can do infinitely more than you as a believer could ever ask or ever imagine. He will do infinitely more. Brothers and sisters, do not limit God. Do not limit Him. Don't limit Him. Neglect Him. Put Him first in your lives. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But how can He do that if we don't prioritize time with Him and His people? When we don't trust Him with our families, when we don't trust Him with our finances, when we don't trust Him with our time. Brother and sister, obey God to the nth degree and see what He will do in and through you. His power at work within us. His power is at work within us. Praise God. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, to the dynamis, to the power that's working in us, the energio. It's by God's Spirit, by God's power in us. And I want to close with reading, just as before we come to singing, something that really touched my heart. And Brother David sent this to me. It's Ephesians 3:8. It's The Unsearchable Riches of Christ by Charles Spurgeon. And it really, I saw the link there to Ephesians 3:20, the exceedingly abundantly. Spurgeon writes, "My master has riches beyond the count of arithmetic, the measurement of reason, the dream of imagination, or the eloquence of words. They are unsearchable. You may look and study and weigh, but Jesus is a greater Savior than you think Him to be when your thoughts are at their greatest. My Lord is more ready to pardon than you to sin, more able to forgive than you to transgress. My Master is more willing to supply your wants than you are to confess them. Never tolerate low thoughts of my Lord Jesus. When you put the crown on His head, you will only crown Him with silver when He deserves gold. My Master has riches of happiness to bestow upon you now. He can make you to lie down in green pastures and lead you beside still waters. There is no music like the music of His pipe, when He is the shepherd and you are the sheep, and you lie down at His feet. There is no love like this. Neither earth nor heaven can match it. Oh, to know Christ and to be found in Him, this is life, this is joy, this is marrow and fatness, wine on the lees, well refined. My Master does not treat His servants churlishly. He gives to them as a king giveth to a king. He gives them two heavens, a heaven below in serving him here, and a heaven above in delighting in him forever. His unsearchable riches will be best known in eternity. He will give you on the way to heaven all you need. Your place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Your bread shall be given you, and your waters shall be sure. But it is there, where you shall hear the song of them that triumph, the shout of them that feast, and shall have a face-to-face view of that glorious and beloved one. The unsearchable riches of Christ. This is the tune for the minstrels of earth and the song for the harpers of heaven. Lord, teach us more and more of Jesus, and we will tell out the good news to others. And so, concluding with the words of Ephesians 3:21, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, Lord, we can only scratch the surface of your love for us. Oh, to know the length and the breadth, to know the depth and the height. Oh, Father, I pray that we as a church might go deeper in seeking you, in having a growing comprehension of your love for us. Teach us to know you more, to seek you more diligently each day, that we together might, with all the saints, have a growing knowledge of your love for us. Show us, Lord, our depravity and your holiness. Show us, Lord, and teach us of your election and your promises and your eternal security. Oh, Lord, we pray we may be your sheep that lie down and do not wander away when you're teaching us. That we may be your sheep who do not find rest on other pastures and think the grass is greener on the other side. Well, Lord, thank you for your word to us. Thank you, Father, and I pray your Holy Spirit would continue to teach us from your word as we go out to this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.